Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com. And get your pumpkin and Oktoberfest beers before they're gone. Your South Hills headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all your party and tailgating needs for this week's game. Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills and online at duffysbeer.com.
Tag team action on Triv Live Radio. In this corner, the reigning team of Ken Laird and Guy Junker.
The cream of the crop! Nobody does it better.
And now the up-and-coming challengers, Tim Benz and Josh Taylor. It's a four-man booth on Triv Live Radio.
I can barely talk. The Mike and Dave super sub. Got a big chunk of it. Getting ready for the weekend. Mike and Dave's pregame show.
What'd you do, pull the meat off it?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, hold on. This is just bread and lettuce, then. This is bread and shredded lettuce and a few tomatoes.
Good stuff in there.
Cheese.
I took my tomato off. Do you want my tomato?
I'm going to wait for Mike and Dave to bring me the super veggie sub.
Is there such a thing?
Of course there is. Call up Mike and Dave's. They take care of you. Mike Graw will be in for the Mike and Dave's pregame show this Sunday, leading into Steelers and Cardinals rematch of Super Bowl 43. Mike and Dave's, the home of the Super Sub, the Italian bread place in Greentree, and their sandwich shop in Brentwood. You can check them out online at italianbreadplace.com. Watch the Super Sub being made. It is huge, and they bring it in two parts. They like have a cart they wheel it in for us here. We have enough to feed all of us easily, and then there's some left for the weekend sometimes, depending on when Josh Taylor's here. Today he's not. Mike Graw will be in luck. There may be some slices left for him on Sunday morning.
Do you eat a shit ton of carbs?
No, I don't.
Because you're a vegetarian?
I don't. I try not to.
Because you don't eat meat, like...
I eat well. I eat my wife's Indian cooking a lot, which is tremendous.
I would figure it's like, I crave carbs. The healthier I eat, the more I crave what I don't have.
Every morning I have the same breakfast. Two eggs, avocado, sliced tomatoes. Really good, healthy. A lot of calories, not too many carbs in there, though. I try not to eat too much bread.
I get sick of anything I would eat every day like that, though.
Pretty much every day. If I get up early enough. Why, do I look fat?
You said no, I'm fat? Just I'm wondering, because I know the healthier that I eat, the more I try to cut out carbs, the
more
I
crave them. Yeah, the easier way you drop a few pounds is just eat a ton of protein. Mm. You can't do that, though.
Yeah. No, I eat fish. I eat a lot of fish now. Back to being a pescatarian. Enough of my eating habits. We got games to pick this week. Once again, I dropped the ball on getting a listener picker for pick and
play. Yeah, how do you keep doing this?
It's 2 weeks in a row. Well, we got one last week, so we just need somebody to dial us up now. SportsTalk@TribWeb.com. If you want to pick games against the spread with us this week, you'll get all our picks. I'll get them in. We'll get them in by
tomorrow. Do you forget
tomorrow.
About the listeners?
Yes, I forget. I'm a very busy guy.
Or is this some sort of like passive-aggressive attempt for us to catch up to them?
Our listener last week was 3-2. Did a nice job. Our listeners, actually, are 18-10 against the spread, equal to the record of Guy Junker.
Crap, am I bad. Wow. I'm still better than Caboli, but I am bad.
Caboli's a former champion, which just goes to show you, in any one year, you don't know what you're going to do.
For most people. Some of us are two-time champs. Guy, though, is falling off the lead. Josh Taylor is one game ahead of you, Guy, with Jerry DePaula, 19-9 against the spread, and five games
to Jerry's on steroids, so.
That's true.
Jerry eats some carbs.
I like this slate this weekend. These are all good games, all interesting games to pick. And we got Josh's selections. Let's fire up.
Now, networks don't talk about it. Government can't tax it. But sports betting is a $200 billion a year business.
Sports Talk on Trib Live Radio.
Pick and pork.
Trib Total Media. See what's next.
Let's start chronologically as we do. Noon kickoff for West Virginia and Baylor. How about that? We got a pretty big game here with a high-ranked team coming in. And, you know, West Virginia had the night game against Oklahoma State. Didn't go so well, so maybe they're back to being better off playing in the afternoon. But the spread is huge in this game. West Virginia and Baylor giving up 21.5. Josh gave us a little write-up, which care to hear what our fearless leader says about this game first.
It's 21.5 at Morgantown.
No, this game's in Texas, no?
Is it in Texas? Is that Baylor? Oh, all right. Well, that changes things. I thought it was Baylor,
so. This may explain, Tim, your poor record.
Damn it.
This is in Waco at McLean Stadium. So it's noon on Fox, and I'm assuming that's Eastern time, or did I get that wrong? Was that noon Central time?
I don't know.
Double check.
They
on
start
that.
Games at 11 in the morning? Yeah, I guess they do.
I've never been to Waco. You guys ever been
to
that part of the our fine country?
I've only been to Houston and Dallas to cover the Steelers, but I've not spent much time in Texas, no.
Okay. Baylor's ranked number two in the country. Last year in Morgantown, Mountaineers beat them, and it was a pretty big loss for Baylor.
It was their only loss till the Cotton Bowl.
Right. It was, that started
that
the whole
kept
mess.
Them from being in the playoffs.
So this is another revenge game of sorts that we got here. But Josh says, yesterday Tom Barton made a very strong case to take the points, but I see a WVU team that isn't as good as the one that beat Baylor last year. No Kevin White to light him up for 130 yards and two TDs. Plus, Baylor's offense lost Bryce Petty and got better. I say sick 'em Bears. Josh is going to take or take Baylor and give the 21.5 points.
I'm going to use the points to my advantage here. Since I have no advantage, I'm going to try to use the points to my advantage. So, I think 21, like you said, early start. 21's a lot in
a
conference game.
21.5.
Unless you're against an inept team in your conference. I don't think West Virginia's that good, but they're not inept. So I'm going to go with the Mountaineers plus. Is it plus 21.5 or is it plus 20.5?
21.5.
21.5. I will take the Mountaineers.
Well, the one thing, Baylor has 321 points. That is the most points through five games since 1937 for any team.
Wow.
I will take Oklahoma State minus the 21.5.
Skyler Howard's numbers are awful in the two conference games they've played so far. I think I'm going to take Baylor and give the points.
Wow.
Ken?
Baylor last week played Kansas and Texas Tech 2 weeks ago. They haven't really played anybody that powerful yet. They're tough games that will come later on the schedule, and I just...
West Virginia has, and they've lost to them. I mean, anytime they play anybody,
I just feel like, you know, hey, Baylor's got a lot of hype here, and it may be built like West Virginia's early
Big
record.
Big 12 home
deceiving.
Opener. They're still pissed about last year. I mean, they scored 70 points on West Virginia the last time they went down there.
I know. West Virginia's
defense is better.
You're facing an 0-4 conference start. I think they're going to show up and at least keep it close. I'm with Tim. That's just too many points for me. I'm going to take the points and the Mountaineers on the road here. Where are you going, guy? Are you going to go with Taylor? Taking Baylor?
I'm taking Baylor. Josh, they took Baylor,
yeah,
too? Yeah, I'm going with Baylor. Just because of that stat with all the points they've scored so far, and West Virginia has not played well against good teams.
Last year, this game was tied 27-all in the fourth quarter, and West Virginia pulled it out. Go to 12:30 in Atlanta, Pitt and Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech, a 2.5-point home favorite here for this 12:30 kickoff. What a mess of a game last year at Heinz Field between these two. Pitt had turnovers on their first five possessions. Georgia Tech has been very bizarre this year. Like, they've played a great schedule. They have played really some tough teams. But their offense has been, I don't want to say it's inept because they've put up some yards.
Well, that's what the coach said. Isn't that the exact word the coach said?
He did, but then he said we're just having guys miss assignments. I think he was more critical of his young running backs. They've been injured a little bit. They were expected to be good. I mean, they were picked to win this conference. They're almost out of it already.
Yeah,
what spread
three.
Do you have on this?
We're going two and a half.
Oh, come on. The Vegas line is 3.5.
We pick it early in the week. That must have moved. Sorry.
3.5 in favor of Georgia Tech. I want that line.
You can't get that line.
Why not?
We have universal standard lines.
Oh.
Listen, you got to use that to, you know.
I'm going with Pitt.
Okay. Me too.
I don't think Georgia Tech's any good this year.
Is Pitt's defense as good as it has been showing so far, and can they stop the run?
Well,
stop the triple option.
I think this is that's the thing. Narduzzi's a great defensive coach and has really helped turn their defense around, but he has not coached against a triple option defense where he's been in a decade. So that could be the wild card there, but they also haven't been performing. They had their worst rushing total in 7 years last week.
Yeah.
So that's not working for them anyway. Now, they've played Clemson, they've played Notre Dame, and until this past game, they had been within a touchdown even in their losses, so they've kept the games close. But I was on the one website, and even their fans don't seem to have any piss and vinegar for the game. They're kind of chalking it in. They just think these guys aren't any good. So I'm only 2.5 points. They're giving Pitt points. I'll take Pitt with the 2.5.
Yep. As Josh says, 14 players on the two deep are hurt for Georgia Tech. They could be missing all three of their starters this week at running back. definitely in the Panthers' favor. And Josh says, God forbid I make Ken's drive for nine any more real, but I am taking Pitt as well. You're all coming on board.
I think this is one of those games, though. This is one of those kind of games that looks good in the
true.
This is a proving game for me that Pitt has turned a corner.
And the worry is that they're battle tested, right? Georgia Tech just comes through playing Clemson and Notre Dame, and
you just wondered a team that was favored to win that division and now really doesn't even have a chance. What they got left? I mean,
that's where
their
I'm
season's kind of lost. I think they're ready to just go down the drain
they're
and play it
fold.
Out. Yeah.
Same with West Virginia, though. That I guess that could go either way. You got the Mountaineers facing 0-4 in the conference. Do they rally and have their best effort on the road, or do they just wilt?
By the way, Pitt is 3-0 on the road against the spread this year too.
There you go.
And now, Georgia Tech is 0-3 at home against the spread, so that's another reason.
Pitt's never beaten Georgia Tech. 0-3 all time, and 0-2 in the ACC. The 8 p.m. kickoff, your Nittany Lions, in Ohio State at Columbus.
For the blackout.
Yeah, the blackout crowd. Dotting the I under the lights, 17.5, the point spread for the number one team in the country.
This one's 18.5.
Why are you looking at those lines? These are the Mike Barker lines. We email these out on Monday. But granted, I don't get them to a listener in time to pick with us half
right.
a week.
No, you're golfing on Mondays.
I want to say Penn State on this.
Wow.
I just don't think Ohio State's Ohio State hasn't played to the point where I want to say that they're like, you know.
That's a big number. It is.
It's a big number. Three touchdowns roughly better than anybody.
Especially last year's game where the only measure we have of James Franklin versus Urban Meyer, Franklin played him tough. And Penn State's defense has looked good, right, Guy? I mean, Austin Johnson, we had our analyst on yesterday raving about Johnson and Carl Nassib and Anthony Zettel. That's a good D-line.
Then again, I don't think that Penn State's played anybody of real consequence except for Temple, who's pretty good, and they lost that game.
Well, they haven't. And then John Donovan, their coordinator, is getting scalded every week, basically, right, Guy? Although he opened it up some last week, a little more. Push the envelope.
The end of the Army game and then last week, but I'm taking Ohio State. I don't see this being a game. Penn State's offense is terrible. I don't think they can put enough points on the board to stay within 17.5. And we're not sure who's healthy at running back. You know, Akeel Lynch at least could break a long one and get you a 70-yard run or something and maybe help keep you close to the spread. But for them to march down the field, Ohio State hasn't been as good as you know, they've struggled with some teams, but they pulled them out. But I just see this as a mismatch. Last year, Penn State had a chance to win this game. Every break went against them, including two ghastly officiating mistakes. So I think they're due to get their hat handed to them, and I think it's going to happen tomorrow night.
As they did 2 years ago. I'm with you. I think just Ohio State's going to rise to the occasion and look better this week. And I'm not sold on the Hackenberg-Donovan offense just yet.
By the way, Ohio State is 0-4 at home against the spread this year. They haven't covered yet.
You can't use that, though, if you're not going to pick them. That's a good factoid, but it doesn't help your side of the argument.
Well, I'm not presenting.
But it helps my side.
I'm presenting facts.
Don't feed Tim any fodder. Josh says he's taking Penn State. He took Ohio State during his show Wednesday, but now that we know that Saquon Barkley, Brandon Bell, the center Mangiero, and Marcus Allen are all going to play, I think they can keep it within two tutties. And so Josh is going to take Penn State. And, Tim, you said you're going to go with Penn State as
I'm
well.
I'm taking all three of the local teams with the points as underdogs.
Who did Josh take in this game?
Penn State.
Hmm.
Me and you taking Ohio State. To Sunday, the Steelers play earlier, but I just want to save that for last here. Let's go to the night game, which is Patriots at the Colts.
What's the spread?
Now, Patriots. This one's moved. Patriots minus 8.5.
What's the over? Patriots. Over. They're going to score. They have 14 points on the board already.
They probably
name
do.
Your line. I'll go with the Patriots. Name your over under. I'll go with the over.
Deion Lewis is dinged up. Is
I don't care.
Kind of a factor.
I don't care. Belichick will figure out a way for Jimmy Garoppolo to score three receiving touchdowns this week. This is all they've cared about for the entire offseason. They will score. They will rub everybody's face, and this is the Deflategate game.
Tom Barton yesterday said 93% of the public money is on New England in this game.
94, then. Put my money
huge
on it.
Huge percentage. That always
95.
Isn't that the sucker money, though, Guy? Isn't there something we
yeah.
could be,
yeah, but
yeah.
they don't. They, not in these games with him and the burr under their saddle that they're going to have. They're going to whitewash Indianapolis.
Even without that the last six games in this series have been won by New England by an average of 21 points, and four of those was with Luck at quarterback.
This could be a 20-point spread, and I would have trouble taking Indianapolis.
Right, exactly. Put me down for New England.
I feel like actually betting serious money on this game, except I don't want to bet on New England ever.
Yeah, because then you're compelled to root for them.
Right. Yeah, it's a clean sweep. Josh says he's also...
What number did Mike put on this? I was joking before.
8.5.
8.5. All right, yeah, it's 9 here. So, yes, give me the Patriots.
Josh says shoulder injury to Luck, everything else that we've all said already. Deflategate domino effect. So we're all on board.
Vegas is the over-under 55 on this. 55.
For the Patriots alone?
Oh, yeah, man, maybe. What's the Patriots individual over?
So we're all going Pats. We're all going Pitt over Georgia Tech. Lastly, the Steelers and the Cardinals. I think this one will be a tougher game. Arizona is favored on the road. 3.5 guy. Here's the dreaded half point. First of all, do we think this game will be close enough that a field goal could swing it? Will it be coming down to the Boz or Chandler Cantazaro?
Well, I would worry about that if I was taking Arizona, but I'm going to take the Steelers.
Really? Are you?
Yes,
wow.
I am. Wow.
You like what you saw in San Diego?
Well, no. Here's what Arizona's combined record of opponents so far is 7-19. The four teams they beat are 5-16, and the games have been close. They have played the Little Sisters of the Poor. I don't think they're that good.
I don't know if they're that good, like 4-1 good, like, you know, getting a bye in the NFC kind of good, but I think they're better than the Steelers right now with the way their offense
is. Yeah, without Roethlisberger, I think, but I don't know.
I'm going with the Cardinals.
Me too, Tim. This just doesn't smell good to me. That secondary, Patrick Peterson, Antonio Brown squawking, Michael Vick trying to placate him. I'm with you, Benz. I think they're going to force one to him at some point, and Deion Buchanan pick six or Peterson or that side of the ball worries me more than the Arians offense does. I'm sure they'll score
some
points.
Steelers haven't lost against the spread yet this year. They've pushed twice.
They're a good bet, huh? They have been. Not this week.
Yeah, when they pushed against the Patriots, we both got screwed.
Yeah, we did.
Because we had a half point extra tacked on, thanks to Mike. Josh, though, is going to take the Steelers as well. He says if this were
a
3-point line.
You don't always have to add a half a point. You could subtract a half a point,
too. Yeah, no kidding.
Well, you guys have to be sharp enough to understand which way it's added and use that to your betting logic. Don't blame Mike.
Well, no, who's ahead of you in the standings here giving me advice?
I'm 1 point behind you.
All right, well, you're 1 point behind me. 2 years ago, I finished 1 point behind you for the championship, but you don't give me credit for that.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Josh says, if this were a 3-point line, I'd feel more comfortable taking Arizona, but the half point makes me nervous. I think the Steelers can force a few turnovers and keep this close. It has been bizarre to see the Steelers' turnovers every week. The defense has been a turnover creator. Picks or
I think lost in the
fumbles.
Injury situation and the suspension situation with the offense and everything else, I think this defense has been a pleasant surprise.
Yes,
they've done very well.
Now this week, Cortez Allen's back in the mix. Shazier's not. Boykin was out there a little bit Wednesday. You wonder when they're going to start to intertwine those guys back into the
mix. Maybe there was more to that than I gave it credit for about them trying to monitor Boykin's snap count based on the draft.
You think that is part of it? I mean, they like Blake, and they've stuck with him, and he produced for them last week. So
you mean because it's conditional, and you just...
Yeah. Hmm? That and Cockrell looks like he knows what he's
doing. Cockrell looks good.
Yeah.
Like, this is not the week to be benching Cockrell and Blake, you wouldn't think, based on their recent
I like talking to him, too. He's pretty interesting to talk to.
Or as Gruden was calling him, Cockrell.
Yeah. Cockrell, yeah.
I like this Cockrell.
Like him enough that you don't even know his name.
But in terms of weapons, the Cardinals have good ones, and I think it was Kent Summers said it's not one guy.
Chris Johnson, I asked Ken about Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson's never run for 100 yards in 7 tries against the Steelers. Different defense, I understand, but he was better then than he is now, too.
Yeah, it's more of a spread it out. He's a decoy, and you kind of use that as the counter when you're expecting pass. And that tight end is big, Darren Fells. Who looks like an Antonio Gates clone, so watch for number 85 this weekend.
Well, the Steelers are great against the tight end. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. All right. Help us out. Pick pork with us. I dropped the ball yet again. Send
Just
us an email.
Find a random emailer. Say, guess what? You are assigned. Assign an emailer the task. I said, find Scott, who came up with the bar graph. He's got time on his hands. Let him be the emailer.
No, he'll beat us all. He sounds too smart.
Trevor says, I beat you guys last week. It's not true, Trevor. You were 3-2, and I was 4-1, so... You're out. We need somebody else besides Trevor.
Yeah, maybe Trevor doesn't understand that he needs to
send Trevor
beat
a graph.
Everybody.
You got to beat everybody,
not our collective average, because then we'd have the same picker every week. Because I'm so bad.
We got some emails to clean up here, guy, before you leave. Would you care me to run through these? Scott says maybe Bombulli should overlay the graph with the number of obstruction interference penalties called per year. I think that would be an interesting look.
Well, I'm sure that's part of his point, isn't it? I mean, like, we're we're acting like we know what the whole article is already, but I'm sure that's inferred.
When's that out? Sunday's paper.
Maybe. Maybe it'll be tomorrow now that we're all talking about it. We ruined his article. We'll ask him. He's in at 1 o'clock for the round table.
You're doing the game on Saturday, right? I'm not.
Yeah, I'll be there Saturday night.
You can talk to Yags.
Wait, which game? Steelers.
Penguins. No. Penguins.
Penguins, Saturday night.
Yeah.
Talk to
Yager.
They're playing Toronto, right?
Oh, Toronto. I'm sorry. When's the Florida game?
Florida's
next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Okay. All right. My bad. I'm sorry.
And Yager, what's the homestand finish against Columbus?
Dallas is it.
Oh, Dallas.
And then Nashville on the road, right? We got the new handy schedule up here. It was just a big schedule giveaway, and I can't see.
Oh, yeah, well, they tried to get real fancy by only putting half of the logo on the calendar page.
You can see the teams, but I can't see home or road. Yeah, Nashville's on the road.
Is that an attempt to diminish the impact of the opponent? Is that some sort of subliminal thing that the marketing department is doing?
Look at Chris Kunitz. Don't look at who they're playing this week. Yeah,
yeah. It's either a very poor print job or a somewhat subtle mental game that they're playing there. The opponent doesn't matter when you come to see the Penguins. Only the Penguins matter.
Crowd last night was pretty good, I got to say. It wasn't totally full, but...
Boy, was it empty to start.
It was empty to start.
That was a bad look when the puck dropped.
Yeah.
Woo!
I think they responded well. Especially the cementhead Chris Neal got him going when he got in some scrums. There were a few of those last night, guy. One of your favorites.
Yeah, oh, God, I hate that guy. Hate him.
It looked like Florida when the game started. I mean, there were entire sections of the rich seats, the center ice club
seats,
that were empty. I'm talking not a person. It looked bad to start.
Speaking of Florida, who is in here on Tuesday, they beat the Sabres last night thanks to two goals from Yags. Two goals. This guy is still...
He's incredible.
He really is.
Get some of that 18-year-old...
He's got four on the year.
Pixie dust on him, and look what happens.
That's amazing. He has now 726 for his career. He's moved within five of Marcel Dion for fourth place on the league's all-time list.
One Yager, of the most underrated guys ever to play.
Yager should drive to Upper St. Clair again and just troll the parking lot like he used to when he was a player and see if he can pick up more 18-year-olds. Just see if the legend of Yager persists. If he's still hunting in that age range.
That selfie was just incredible, the picture that he let go.
Yeah, whatever.
Let it go. He says last night, great words of wisdom from Yags. Sometimes the puck goes in, sometimes it doesn't. Doesn't matter what you do. I've learned that over 25 years. Right now it's going in, so I'm trying to shoot.
Too bad he didn't learn that in like 2001 when he was pouting when he went in that slump. Might have had a shot against Jersey.
Doug in North Carolina. NFL is geared for offense to have huge stats. The NHL is not, so the comparison of bang for the buck is not apples to apples, guys. Unless the NHL changes, it might have to give credence to the argument of multiple huge contracts for offensive stars. But that being said, I couldn't part with Sid or Gino.
It's not apples to apples. He's right. And the reason I brought it up, though, was you just see era to era the way things slide. It's easier to be a good quarterback today than it was before. The graph that Bombulli is putting out there, or the premise that Bombulli is putting out there, is it's harder to score. Here's proof. Mm-hmm. So the good players come down to the middle, whereas I'm saying now it's easier to be a quarterback. The poor quarterbacks, the marginal quarterbacks, now look good. Josh McCown is a Pro Bowler right now.
No, he's not. He's put up numbers, but that doesn't mean he's a Pro Bowler.
You want to look at the numbers?
Yeah, three straight 300-yard games. We threw team record last week against Baltimore. We know they stink.
The season ended today. He is a Pro Bowler in the AFC. He's behind Brady.
No. Dalton is ahead of him.
Go
to your quarterback rating. Who are the top three QBRs?
He's eight. He's actually six.
Tyrod Taylor's probably ahead of him.
No, he's eight.
Joe emails. I was wondering if Sid's inability to get the puck elevated is related to his completely straight stick blade.
Yeah, well, that's what's also given him his lethal backhander over the years. So.
Exactly.
And it helps him stick. It's better for stick handling. It's what he's played with this whole. He's always had that. So, you know what I really wonder about, guys, in all honesty? The repeated concussions and the major problems. If he if he's lost a half a second of his cognitive ability to make a decision, and Tim was right. I mean, his shot was never Kessel-like, but he scored goals based on his quickness, his thinking, his skating ability. Even if that, you know, as you get older, you're going to lose some of that anyway. But you should at least hit 30 before that really is a factor. That could be the difference more than anything. You want to do a study on him, look at all of his numbers pre that long out with a concussion and post, and that's where you'll see your difference.
Jeff from Columbus is stepping up for Pick and Pour. Thank you, Jeff. We're going to put you in this week. He says, especially since they're playing at the Horseshoe out in my country this week.
So he's got Ohio State minus 81 and a half.
Probably. Chris Latrobe says, I would move Hornquist and Sprong to play with Sid. Try Kessel with Malkin and Perron. Kunitz on line three where he belongs. Put some young energy with Crosby, and Sprong could be the spark.
Kunitz is on line three. Tell him I'm in a meeting.
Joe says, when Gino plays well, the media says the Stars need to play better. When Sid plays well, the media says Gino needs to play better.
Not this media.
Sid may not be the problem, but he doesn't help. He's passing gas. His passing has gotten even worse. He says his
he's passing gas.
That's what he wrote. His passing has gotten even worse. He might be passing gas, too. That's why Kessel was in such a good mood on the bench over there. They were chuckling up something about something yesterday.
Yeah, but in the first period, they were kind of on each other's ass a little bit. Did you notice that?
Yeah, a little bit. They seemed to be in good moods. The Toronto media was already in town, and they talked to Kessel. One of the guys wrote a story about how Kessel was already in defense mode.
Who wrote the evisceration piece?
Of Kessel?
Yeah, the hot dog
story. The hot dog piece.
Is he coming?
I don't know.
Is he going to get credentialed, or is he going to get blackballed?
That's a good question. All right, Gee, parting shot. You already got your picks in here.
Man, this is Steelers.
I mean, can't believe you're taking Pittsburgh.
Really?
You feel like they're going to win, not just cover. Straight up win.
I'll take them with the points.
Okay.
Especially with more than a field goal.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm not impressed with Arizona, and I think coming home here, I think the Steelers got a little bit of life blown into them on Monday night. So
certainly you're right to feel that way. We'll see how you do.
We're the Chargers this weekend. Green Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tough stretch for them.
Yeah.
It was a big loss for them last week.
And the college football, I mean, this is, you know, West Virginia's October through hell is continuing. We'll see what happens.
Well, it's a good day tomorrow.
It's a huge game for Penn State. I mean, I don't think they can win it, but if they would, it would make their season. And obviously, you know, it's a turning point game for Pitt. And the Penguins are in action. I mean, it's a great time of year. Be great if the Pirates were still involved in the playoffs, but we got, league championship series coming up now. Man, this is stock up on the beer and the nachos and pull up the chair.
Exactly.
And with the weather, turn on your fireplace.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's going to get cold.
It's starting to get nippy.
Bonus pick and pork for you. Michigan State.
Oh.
Michigan State's a 7.5-point dog at Michigan.
Well, the Michigan's had three straight shutouts.
I'll take Michigan State there.
I think I will, too. I don't think Michigan's quite there yet.
I think they are. I'm impressed. I like Harbaugh.
What time is Pitt?
12:30.
12:30. Smelling parlay there.
What time's West Virginia?
West Virginia's at 11 in Waco time.
In Waco. All right. Coming up, we're going to hear Tim's interviews with Bud Dupree and Marcus Gilbert. Two interesting players this year so far. Dupree coming alive a little bit. Although I thought he should have had this strip sack. He had the sack last week. He didn't rake it out of there. You know how the James Harrison effect? You're being picky when you're asking for more than just the sack, I guess. But
yeah, especially over the last couple of years. I mean, my God.
I know, but sometimes in that game, they needed the defense to score.
And I tweeted that earlier.
Let's not go Occam's razor on Bud Dupree so far. I think he's doing okay.
They actually scored twice. Only one of them counted.
I'm going to learn to play the guitar this winter, just so by spring I can start a band and call it Occam's Razor.
Oh, I'm sure there's been 15 Occam's Razor bands.
And our first album will be named Killer Chihuahua.
Marcus Gilbert, Bud Dupree next. This is the Giovanni's Pizza Hour, and it is Trib Live Radio.
Know that Invisible Fence brand creates happier homes where pets can safely play in the yard out of danger. But did you know we also have products to help your pets avoid bad behaviors with trash cans, furniture, and unsafe areas both inside and out? We even offer a programmable pet door for more pet freedom. And expert installation plus professional pet training guarantee success. To schedule a free in-home consultation, visit invisiblefence.com or call 1-800-578-3647.